This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free. Welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's going on, people? Welcome to another Live Palace Focus. I'm joined by T and Stan here to talk all the latest things with Palace. And of course, we're going to be talking about that City game. We're going to be talking about some news as well. Eze is back. And can JP be potentially leaving the club in the upcoming window? And also, finally, we'll be looking ahead to the Wolves game as well. So it's going to be a jam-packed show. As always, we want to hear from you. So make sure to leave down your comments. And if you want to join and turn on your webcam and let us know your thoughts like that, then the link will be posted in the live section in just a second. So you can click on it, have your say, whether you agree or disagree with us. But look, it's going to be an exciting show. Thanks to everyone who's joined us so far. And also make sure to leave a like and subscribe. You already know how it goes. We'll be doing great this weekend. And I appreciate everyone's support so far. Guys, City, look, this is what I'll be honest with you. Every time I've been doing the thumbnails and editing videos, I have to hold my hands up. I've been writing City 2, Palace 0 because it just doesn't feel right. Like, that's the normal scoreline that happens. But City 0, Palace 2, what a 3 points to come and grab away at home. What a performance. But I'll start with you, Stan. You must have been... Of course, you are over in America watching it with the other guys in Toronto as well, other Palace fans. You must have been buzzing about that scoreline back home.
Mate, I mean, what can I say, man? It was like heart in mouth for 86 minutes until Gallagher got the second. But it wasn't just the scoreline, mate. It was the performance. It was the professionalism of every player on the pitch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the meltdown of City players as well, like going 1-0 down, Zaha rattling them, and he got under their skin. And it wasn't because he was being a dick, it was just because he was just better than them. He was causing them problems, you know. And that, you know, them, the half time thing when they were all going over to him and et cetera, and putting that, you know, a decent centre half in Laporte under pressure and getting him sent off, and just the whole manner of the performance, I think, was just, it's just a culmination. I know that obviously we spoke about the centre backs before, but it's been coming. It has been coming. And look, you're going to be under the cosh with these guys, but what a game. What a game, man.
Yeah. Before I move on to T to get his thoughts on the game, I've just posted the link. So if you guys want to join, I'll post it again because I'm not too sure if that will work. But if you guys want to join and have your say, feel free. Look, Palace right now is T. It feels like a refreshing season. Like, we've been waiting for this moment for years. Roy Hodgson, of course, done his thing with us, keeping us up. But we always wanted to push on to the next level. And Patrick Vieira has, you know, finally given us a fresh breath of air. But talking about Patrick Vieira, let's talk about the squad selection. Let's start with there, with the City game. Ayew and Kouyaté started. And for me, not Ayew that was a shock. It was Kouyaté that was a shock. Because personally, I'll hold my hands up. I said it before the game as well. I wasn't too sure whether Kouyaté was the right man, because he hasn't been playing particularly good this season in midfield, in my personal opinion. Yes, it's a game of opinions. Others might disagree with me. But was you surprised by it, T? By both of them coming into the lineup? Personally, I thought Ayew might come in because of what Patrick said in the live post-match show after the Newcastle game, saying that Ayew offers more defensive cover. But it was Kouyaté for me.
I was caught off guard by it at first. But the more I thought about it, the more sense it made. Because you think about it, and when you have that defensive midfielder, he can be one of two players usually. He can be a destroyer that shields the back four, or he can be a ball distributor, good passer who sits behind and distributes from the back, kind of controls the play. In a game against Man City, we're not going to have that, the usage of a player who's just going to spray the ball around, distribute. He's not going to have that opportunity because more than likely we're not going to have the majority of the possession. Therefore, having Luka back there probably wasn't going to be the thing that we wanted to do, along with the fact that Luka has his own defensive deficiencies. So he went with the destroyer model with Kouyaté trying to break up play. He's like, let me just put a guy back there who's going to break up play, who when we attack, we'll sit back in almost a back three almost now with our two center backs. And we can just let our fullbacks push up, let those three sit back. And Kouyaté's job is simple, man. Destroy, break up play. So, I mean, after I thought about it more, it made more sense.
Stan, you've been talking about Ayew loads. Yeah, you've been on his case, talking about how he hasn't been good enough, how he's been this and that. And yes, you do have a point. Look, no one here is going to deny
he did,
it.
He did miss a sitter in the second half.
Oh, geez. All right. Before we get on to that, Oliver leaves a message saying this as well. Stan, how would Jordan Ayew on Saturday? Do you understand it though, Stan? Because I know you've been massively critical of Ayew, but do you understand how he can be useful in these type of games?
Yeah. He did his job. He played very, very well against a good team. You know what he did do as well, though, which I really, really liked, was that I think it was minute two or minute three. Was it Grealish he went in on? Or he went in on one of them and he fucking smashed him. He smashed him and he took the book in, but he let them know that he's like, you know what, we're here. We're up for
this. That was Grealish.
Grealish. And he went in on him. Grealish rolled around, obviously, theatrical, whatever.
Yep.
He went in on him and took the book in, like I said. And I was like, you know what? I rate that. Like, I rate when you do that because it's, how can you say it? Like, I think that they were rattled. They were rattled. Like, took the book in. Yeah, you had to be careful after that. But, like, he put a shift in, mate. Fair play to him. Like I said, credit where credit's due. Like, he deserves a lot of credit for his performance on Saturday. He was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's comments flying in about other lineup selections as well. And it's about Zaha and Edward. I think this was another shock for me. Zaha, when I saw Zaha on the lineup, I thought, yes, he's playing out wide, Edward's up front. But Vieira changed it about. Mm-hmm. And we've said it so far. Vieira likes to, you know, not go with the same thing over and over again. He likes changes. He likes to cause other teams problems by making them think twice. And in this game, T, you saw Zaha start up front and Edward start out wide.
Yep.
Do you think it did work out in the end?
It did. It did. It definitely did. And it showed in the very first goal. Me and Patrick talked a little bit about this on the match reaction. I think the move by PV to put Wolf up top was probably something that that PV saw in film of Manchester City and their center backs and probably said to himself, you know what? Their center backs struggle with pacey center forwards. And by putting Wolf in that position, it automatically put those two, where Ruben Dias and John Stones, in a really tough situation, because now not only do you have a guy who's a good finisher, as he showed, you got a guy who's pacey, who is tricky, that's going to give them trouble through the middle. So I think that might have been one of the reasons why he decided to make that move, and a masterclass move it was, honestly.
Yeah, Mike agrees with you as well. He says, Wilf centrally, a stroke of genius. As well as doing the unexpected, it took Wilf away from Walker, who has usually nullified him. Mm-hmm. I agree. And whenever Wilf did come across Walker, it did seem not a struggle, but it was much harder for him. And it caused City defenders problems. We'll be talking about the red card later on in the show. But Wilf in the central areas, he can run out wide. He can run through the middle. He's got skill. He's got the pace. It just made them think extra. If Wolf played out wide, it would have been so easy for City to send 2-3 players out wide and trap him in them corners. Yep. But because it was in them central areas, they couldn't do that. They had a problem all game long. And I agree, it was tactical genius from Vieira. And it's something so simple as well that managed to help us massively. Zach agrees with Mike as well. And then Bernan says Ward is having a great season. We'll be talking about Joel Ward as well. And Lewis says Connor loves at this club. You can tell he keeps talking about celebrating in front of the away fans after the match. And Rocky says, Eagles!
Keep him alone.
Yeah, exactly. So, talking about Wilf, let's move on to his 50th Premier League goal for the club. Look, Stan, it seems like Wilf is loving life at the club. And for many seasons, we've seen it. He wants out. It's no shock. It's no surprise. Whenever we've seen the rumours, we know that at this point, it is true. He didn't want to leave the club. But, this is a massive but. Do you think there's a possibility of Wilf signing a contract extension at the club? And hear me out. Before, there was no ambition really at the club. You saw it. We was playing, you know, we wasn't trying to really go and achieve things. It was the same thing over and over again, relying on Wilf. We barely had any good technical players like that. We've improved the squad. We've improved the manager who wants to go and win. Do you think right now, if you're Wilfried Zaha, you might be considering an extension, considering that you're about 28, going to turn into 29. You're playing your best football at Palace. And if you were to move onto a bigger club, then there's no guarantee you of starting or even having a proper game time because competition is high. Do you think Vieira coming into a club has changed Wolf's mentality going forward?
100%. I think he is more settled. There's more to him. He's playing amazing football. He loves it. You know what? Like, he kind of is the main man, and he always will be, but he kind of isn't in a way as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's players that can do more. And you look at, like, you know, like you just said, like, they put Wilf up top. They played Edouard on the wing. Do you know what I noticed about Edouard, though? When that ball's being lumped up from the goal kicks by Guaita, Edouard's winning the headers.
Yeah, like, he's very good in air.
You expect for him to be able to jump and win those headers and take it down, bring it around, etc., etc. Like, there was just so much more to it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. We got Nick here. Nick, as I always say, you're the legend of the show. You always have to tune in and you're always here. And that's why you're a legend. If you want to tune in like Nick, the link is in the comment section. So just click on it and you can come on and have your say. You don't even have to have your webcam on. You can just come on and just share your voice with us. So make sure to click the link, join in with us and keep sending in your comments. I'll be reading them out. Nick, of course, I spent the whole day with you on Saturday. Yeah. What a win. But what stood out to you the most in that game?
The fact that we've got a manager. Hello, Stan, by the way.
Yeah, mate,
the fact that we've got a manager who is full of lots of different ideas, looks at the opposition, thinks, right, I need to do this for this game. I've got players that I know can come on and change games. And I can fool the opposition manager because they ain't going to know what I'm going to do from one week to the next. That's what I've taken away from, well, we've played 10 games, quarter of the way through the season. And, you know, the title of this show is we've got our Palace back. And we have. It's just so wonderful. I've seen every game so far and I'm going to try and do the whole season, which I've never done. That's how good it is. We've got our little group, haven't we, DR? There's four of us that travel up in your little Audi. And suddenly, more and more people from the back of the Nest Posse want to come up. We're going to move to two
all
cars.
Plastics.
Yeah. So we've got
all want to come now.
Our little,
They all want to come down now, yeah?
Yeah, they all want to come and watch the Palace. So it's just phenomenal. Kouyaté, what a game he had. Screening the front of that defence. Playing as a centre-back, as a centre-defensive midfield. Ably supported by the man who didn't stop running, Jimmy Mack. And that true box-to-box midfielder, Conor Gallagher, that I think every team in the country will want. We have got to go all out to try and get him in the January transfer window, even if we pay 40, 50 million for him. I chatted on the Match Report pod about him, and they said, well, what if he goes? I said, well, we've got Eze in the waiting in the sidelines now. He's played for the under-23s and possibly could fill that role, but I think it's of the utmost importance that we try and get Conor Gallagher.
We've got a question here from Moses. He asks, it's a bit off topic, would you take Aaron Wan-Bissaka back at Palace?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah, if we can get him back for 25 million, make a nice profit. Definitely, yeah. Because I don't think he's in the right environment to develop as a player, because I think I've said it before that Man United, you're expected to be the complete player if you're going to play under Solskjaer. And I'm not sure that Solskjaer's a good manager for developing, and neither were previous managers. You know, we at Palace, he was allowed to make mistakes without being coated for it. But Man United is going to get coated for every single little mistake.
Look, I think you've got to look at it with... a little bit off the subject, but look at Grealish. Villa, main man, got away with mistakes, you know, but he was the main man. You know, City fans on Twitter, they're chirping Villa. They're like, can you just take him back? Can you just take him back? Can you take Jack Grealish back? He's rubbish. He's, you know, when you get to that level, it's a different kettle of fish, man.
It's a bit of a discredit to Joel Wood as well, saying, can you take Grealish back? Because... we'll be talking about Grealish and Woody's performance there, but I thought Joel Wood had a brilliant game. He had a brilliant game, and we'll be discussing that later on in the show as well. But before we do, Jay says, Wilf, best ever Palace player of all time. There's no debate for me. 100%. He is Sir Wilfried Zaha. He is Mr. Crystal Palace for me. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm an old guy.
But I mean, but I mean, it's the same time.
Go on, Nick.
I get this, Nick.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's best, but my favourite is Vince Hilaire or Ian Wright.
No way. No, absolutely.
I was talking to somebody the other day about the Blackburn playoff game in '89, where he sent us up with his 33rd goal of the season.
Who's that? Wrighty?
Ian Wright, yeah.
You know what? I'd never forgive him for what he did when he left, mate. Never forgive him.
I was at Highbury when he kissed the badge, but you know, footballers are mercenaries.
So was I, mate. He's no legend. He's no club legend to me, mate. Never forgive. Never. Judas, get out.
I think that type of storyline is the kind of thing that kind of takes away from what you're saying with Ian Wright's legacy with us, compared to a guy like Wilf, who, you know, yeah, he did go away, but in his story with coming back and things like that, and you know, I don't know. I mean, it's.
I just think the individual that he is, like Wilf,
yeah.
Not only is he an absolutely class baller, like, let's be realistic. As a player, he's the player that single-handedly pretty much saved this club. Let's think about it, right?
For many seasons. Only
for years, right? We wouldn't have gone up if it wasn't for him. Like, he's a once-in-a-generation type of player. You'll bring great players through that academy. Do you think you'll see another Zaha in our lifetime? I don't think we will. Maybe.
I think we will, because you saw the academy open last week. That place looks astonishing. Now, if you think about it, how many players from South London have gone on as juniors at other teams simply because they've got better academies and better facilities? Now we've got that there, we are going to draw players in from that catchment area. Now we've got PVA playing the type of football that we're playing. People are going to want to sign as young players for Palace now. I truly believe that. And I think actually Wilf is just the start of something that's going to get better and better.
Maybe.
I truly do.
So we got a comment from Colin. He says, hey, guys, you good? Wilf can see now our progression and caliber of players we have in now. He's happy we can win and something going forward. That's Wilf with Zaha chat there. Let's quickly move on to the second goal as well, Nick, before you head off and quickly get your thoughts on this man here. And he is, look, he only came on for what, 5 minutes again, 6 minutes? But every single time, he is on the pitch. He causes trouble. It doesn't matter how long he plays, whether it's 45 minutes, whether it's 2 minutes or 3 minutes, he will do something. And it's getting beyond ridiculous now. But once again, for Palace's second goal, he's dribbling there, just turning John Stones inside out, just sending him to the shops. And then also afterwards, assisting Conor Gallagher with the goal. Like, Elise, describe him in less than 10 words, Nick.
Absolutely amazing. He is. I mean, how old is he? He's younger than you, DR.
Yeah, he's 19.
You know, he's 19. What are we building at this team? It's just incredible, isn't it? It's and that's going to help keep Wilf, because Wilf isn't going to be the big fish in a small pond anymore, is he? He's taking some of the pressure off of Wilf. And I honestly, hyperbole here, but if we ain't pushing for Europe next season, I'll eat me socks.
Jeez. And you know the funny thing is, everyone who's watching this, Nick is always the one, when we talk about Europe, he's always the one to remind you, don't jinx it, don't jinx it. And now you have Nick saying we're going to be pushing for Europe, which is kind of crazy. And it shows the level. Nick is the last guy to say that. Trust me.
Yeah.
Nick, he's the last guy to say that. And now you have him saying it. That's a Vieira effect at the club.
Nick is talking about it for next year. Honestly, I think we could have a shot this year. We're talking about seventh place in the league. Maybe even eighth place, depending on what happens with other things.
You're saying like, that, yeah. See, you think about the games we've played.
If we get to Europe. Oh my god!
Like, I'm not even
who we've
like,
played. We've only lost two. Who have we got in the next eight games?
But this will be the test, though. Let's see how it goes first, because this will be the test.
And we'll be talking about the Wolves game later on in the show. But Nick, thank you for joining us. As always, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I spoke to you for like 10 hours on Saturday, speaking to you here as well. I speak to you more than my family at times. But we'll be going to another away game together soon. Well, in about 3 weeks' time at Burnley. So yeah, pleasure having you on the show.
Thank, man.
Yeah, pleasure on having you on the show. And yeah, see you later, Nick.
Always a pleasure, Nick, man. Take it easy, brother.
Yeah, that was Nick here. Let's continue talking about Elise. Keep sending your chats. I'll be trying to read them out quickly. Let's read out Collins. We have a team of players we can rely on instead of just depending on Wilf. It is also good that Zaha has players around him who can supply him too. We've got another caller in the show. Ahmed, thank you for joining us. What would you like to say? Hello? They're just silent. Maybe you're on mute. We can't hear you. Well, we'll try to bring him on in just a second. Maybe he's having mic issues. I'm not really too sure, but we couldn't hear Ahmed there. To keep talking about Elise here. So he is one of the... I don't know who else is better than him coming off the bench in the Premier League. I'll just say that.
They said he's got the best stats of anybody coming off the bench as far as what he's doing. So,
but he's more than capable of starting. So... T, I know we're going to be talking about him in a Wolves game, but if you're Vieira, surely you have a massive headache. Does Elise suit certain games more than others? Is that why Vieira didn't start him against City, but might be starting him against Wolves?
I think that's what it's coming to. I think Patrick Vieira is looking at things holistically and seeing he's paying attention to the matchup we have, combined with the talents and abilities of the players we have on our team, which is a stark contrast from what we've had in the past. In the past, just like field the best 11 that you can all the time, regardless, like across the board, especially when it comes to our front four guys, just get the best guys out there that can put up goals for us. But now, you know, you have a coach that has the, you have a manager who has the ability to analyze a matchup, and he has the squad depth to say, who do I have that suits the needs that we have going into this particular match, and then fielding the team. So I guess at this point, it's kind of like, if it makes sense, he'll start.
I think he's just putting him like gradually. But I'm telling you, when he's got two or three games behind him, full 90 minutes, you think he's good now? If he keeps playing the way he does as an impact sub, like, I'm worried.
I'm worried. I feel like teams are going to notice him. Yeah, he's 19. He was linked with Bayern Munich before he joined us. Like, right. His talent has always been there.
You know what the thing is now, though? Like, I'm not worried about it. I'm not, because these are players the club can sell and you can replace. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, oh my God, don't sell Wilf because we'll go down. Don't do this or don't do that. That's not the case anymore. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, clubs will notice him. Clubs will notice all our players. There's a reason. There's a massive buyback clause in Mark Gay's contract for Chelsea, and they've got first refusal on him and stuff like that. Because the potential of these players, these are ballers, mate. Like, they are absolute ballers.
We've got a comment from Louis. We need to get a new keeper ASAP. Just quickly on Vicente Guaita, I wasn't thinking of talking about him much today. T, do you think there was any problems with Guaita on the weekend? The only thing that I might be, that Louis might be upset about or might be saying that is due to his distribution. At times he had to kick it out and he's not the best on his feet. But do you think we need a new keeper as soon as possible?
I wouldn't say as soon as possible. I guess for us, as soon as possible is January, right? And I think the reason why we're not in the ASAP situation is because I think that if we have, we get to a point where Vicente needs to be replaced, I think we give Butlin an honest look before we think about saying, okay, we need a goalkeeper ASAP. So I think that the earliest for us may be the summertime when we could say that we need to be looking for a new goalkeeper. I don't think we need to do anything this season in immediacy unless we're talking about injuries or, you know, a drastic fall off in quality from who we have already.
We're talking about the second goal. And this guy here is a goal scorer, and it can't be a Palace show. You can't have a Palace show out there, not just back of the nest, whatever Palace show you're doing. You can't have a Palace show out there and not mention Conor Gallagher. I feel like it's impossible at this stage. Every single game that we play, this guy has to be mentioned because he always does something. He's always involved. And once again, I didn't mention it for the first goal, but his pressing was the reason that we managed to get the ball in the first place to pass Wilfried Zaha. And in the second goal, him going into the box when he shouldn't have done, and he admitted that after the game, is the reason why we got the second goal and buried it. He looks like he is loving life at Palace, just like Wilf is. But after this game, I've noticed it. Lots of neutral fans are saying, well, we could have Conor Gallagher. No, you can't have Conor Gallagher. We want him. But T, are you potentially worried about, after all these games that Conor Gallagher's having, there's going to be more interest from other clubs, and even Chelsea's going to notice as well for how much talent he is. Once again, what performance from Gallagher, but it is getting scary because he's playing so good and now others are noticing him. It's reminding me of a bit like Aaron Wan-Bissaka. When he first came onto the scene, it took him a couple of games. It took him 5 or 6 games. And after that, everyone started noticing him, and that's how we got a transfer. With Gallagher, he seemed like he's playing his best football ever. I've never seen him like this. He's so good on the ball.
I think the thing that we have to realize is, you know, first and foremost, that, you know, we don't have a buy clause on him right now, you know. So I think come January, I hope that our front office guys like Dougie are trying to see what can possibly be done if it's possible. You know, first of all, I mean, you know, you got to check and see if Chelsea's even interested in it. But I think at the end of the day, for us, the thing that we have to be understanding of is he's ours for the season. You know what I mean? And if another team wanted to try to come in January and swoop him up, they got to go through us in some way, shape, or form, first and foremost. But at when it's all said and done, he'll be with us to the end of the season. So my worry is that he'll do so well that we can't afford him. I think that's my biggest worry at this point, is that he'll do so well that our chances of signing him will be thrown out the door because of the asking price. But in hearing from so many Chelsea fans off of one post that I put up on Twitter, apparently, that you guys have both seen, they are so sure that he will be staying at Chelsea. So we will.
Stan, how much is he valued? Because the team mentioned it there that his value is going to go up if he he's putting in these type of performances. But right now, how much do you think Conor Gallagher is valued after 10 Premier League games?
40 mil.
40 mil, so not any higher, not any, so 40 mil on the spot.
He's still a youngster. Like, come on, like, he's not, do you know what I mean? Like, to be
the
honest,
potential he's got.
The potential is there, don't get me wrong. But is he going to get a game at Chelsea, really and truly? Look at that midfield. Is he starting in that midfield every week? Loftus-Cheek went back there. He's only just getting in there. Is Conor Gallagher willing to wait 3 or 4 more years before he gets a game there? You know what's going to happen? Or what could happen? John Textor. I'm telling you, I could see him just putting his hand in his pocket and paying the money. I can see him doing it, mate. You just don't know. Like, I don't know if you've seen the guy on Twitter, but he doesn't ramp. He gives it as good as he gets. And he looks like there's a fair bit of backing behind him. So I would personally say, don't write us off in getting him permanently. I genuinely don't think... So, what's it called? Yeah, I genuinely don't think... that he's... what's it called? That is over and that he's going to be playing at Chelsea. Look at that midfield, mate. Like, he ain't getting a game in there.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I don't think anyone in that Chelsea... I can't say not anyone, but it's going to be hard for him to get consistent minutes week in, week out. I think he will still have a role in that Chelsea squad right now, but it depends on what Gallagher wants. At Palace, we can guarantee him game time. And at bigger clubs right now, not only Chelsea, I'm not too sure any other clubs, can you actually guarantee him 90 minutes week in, week out? It's going to be difficult. So it depends on what Gallagher wants, and it depends on how much Chelsea value him. If they'll value him 40 million... it's not going to be easy, is it? Spending 40 million on a midfielder, Palace, it's a bit too much. But we will see how that one goes. I'll be reading some more of your comments. As always, if you're enjoying it, make sure to hit the like button and subscribe. If you're new here, it takes a second and helps us out massively. And I'll be posting the link once again. So if you want to come on and have your say, then feel free. As always, you can show your webcam. You can have your webcam off. You can let us hear, listen to your opinion rather than showing your face as well. It's up to you, whatever suits you best. Jacob says, we're going to talk about Joe Whitworth coming through to start for us pretty soon. We don't need the goalkeeper. So, yeah, in the academy, we've got another young, talented goalkeeper that should be potentially coming in.
Going back to that goalie, going back to Guaita, I don't think goalkeeper is 100% where we need to be looking at the moment, but he was lucky. He was lucky on that equaliser that got disallowed because that ball... from Foden, he needs to be coming and claiming that no problem. That was a floaty ball, and he literally stood there and ball watched it.
And that goes back to his MO or the weakness that people have been seeing in him is his inability to control his box, his inability to come and catch, his inability to distribute the ball. So, unfortunately, the love that we developed for Vicente through the Roy Hodgson era is now starting to be tested because of this different type of system that we're in that calls for him to play differently.
But listen, he's kept a clean sheet away at Man City.
Hey, get a manager's respect.
Who exactly? Forget about winning at Man City. Who world class teams struggle to go to Man City and keep a clean sheet, let alone win. We managed to go there, win 2-0, and kept a clean sheet, which was incredible in itself because we had a game plan and it fell down to Vieira. Yes, we weren't pressing as we normally do, but you can't do that. When you go for man, City's bench can start for most Premier League teams. Like, they have ridiculous amount of talent and depth in there. So Vieira had a game plan. It was sensible and it did work out. And a clean sheet at the Etihad, crazy. Yes, we did have a bit of luck with the offside. I don't know if we count it as luck, but we deserved it. We really deserved it because we've been so unfortunate over the last 4 to 5 games where we should have won games. And in the last second of games, we just bottled it. So we do deserve these kind of lucks at times as well. And it does even out come end of the season.
I agree. I mean, and going back to what they were saying earlier about Joe Whitworth, that kid's really talented. He's just short. I don't even know if that kid is 6 foot. So, I mean, if he gets any taller, man, that kid could be a real talent come out of the academy.
And I'm just saying, I know that we need to move on from the whole Roy Hodgson thing, et cetera, et cetera. But when you saw Coyote and Ayu, you automatically thought we're sticking 11 men behind the ball because that's what he would have done with them there. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But mm-hmm. Vieira had a completely different game plan, whatever. Roy Hodgson loses that game 5-0.
Yeah, because we would have sat back, but I'm not too sure. I think tactically, the players were aware. Like, I've seen it. Even when City had the goal kick, you saw when Ayu had his press triggers or Edouard had his press triggers. When mm-hmm. it went to their right back or left back, then you saw it. Ayu then pressed. Like, we mm-hmm. tactically, we were well coached. Like, you saw it in that performance. Even though we did sit back like Roy Hodgson would, we knew what to do when we did have the ball. We were so clinical.
We didn't really sit back. I mean, they're going to come at us. Do you know what I mean?
We had 11 men behind the ball at times.
I know.
There's nothing wrong with it.
They're going to come back. They're going to come at us. And yeah, like, it's, what's it called? Like, you expect that. But I thought, honestly, I'm not getting carried away here. I thought that performance, man, like I said, to a man, all of them, brilliant.
It was convincing, man. And like some of the, like, I think that's why I'm building so much more admiration for Vieira as a manager, is because of his tactics and how he sees the game and how he analyzes it and how he makes necessary changes and implementations from match to match. I mean, one of the things that I also noticed is, like, how you're talking about how they had their press triggers. If you noticed, we didn't press their center backs really hard. And I think a reason for that was because we were trying to use our midfield three to match their midfield three at all times. And if we tended to press up, we would give more outlets to those guys in the center, and we were trying to stop them from getting the ball.
CJ says exactly, it's a big performance. We were fantastic. Colin says it's not always about pressing just for the sake of it. We press at the right times and in mm-hmm. right areas, which frustrated City, stopped their game plan, kept our defense solid, but still able to put our game plan to use. Agree with Colin there. Danny says, please, lads, this is a transition season. Surely the only thing we need to focus on this season is survival. I expect at least mid-table finish, and anything more is a bonus. Surely that's a realistic I believe it is a realistic expectation. I always thought this was a transition season, but Vieira's done wonders to make us play this type of football so early on. The whole mentality around some of these players has been just focused on defending, defending, and defending, and Vieira's come in and changed that completely in a short span of time. So, you know, we're going to have bumps on the road. We've seen it already so far this season. We're going to have moments where we concede last minute. We're going to have moments where maybe Vieira gets it wrong. But it's all about, you know, getting the whole mentality right, mm-hmm. sticking with a game plan and coaching these players to be the best they can be. And so far, we've done a great job. But injuries will happen, unfortunately. Yep. That's all part of it. I'll be reading off more comments as well. Nick says Hodgson was the last manager to beat Man City at the Etihad before Saturday. S33 says, I agree with Stan. We didn't sit back or back down from Man City. Last City chat here, before we move on to the next topic. I want to talk about Joe Ward. Because we talked about after the Newcastle game, and me and Patrick agreed basically on the fact that Joe Ward, in Vieira's system, he's not really suitable due to the fact that, you know, he's not the type of man to go and overlap, you know, Ayew or Olise. He hasn't really got it in him to be a good attacking, overlapping fullback. But in these type of games, when you're defending for 90 minutes and both Mitchell and Wardy were just required to sit back, look at these stats. He pocketed Jack Grealish worth £100 million. And Joe Ward is one of our most underrated players out there. Clearances, 7. Block shots, 1. Interceptions, 1. Tackles, 2. Ground duels, 1. 4. Aerial duels, 1. 3. Joe Ward, what a game from him. So quick shout out to Wardy there. But finally, talking about valuation of players, I just want to move on to another player right now. And that is this man here, Mitchell, which I mentioned. It's come to a point where we talk about Gallagher, we talk about Zaha, and Mitchell just does a thing week in, week out. But T, you wanted to talk about Mitchell before the show. So how much do we value him? We had a little debate, me, you and Stan. Let's open it up. For you, Tyreek Mitchell, right now, how much is he valued? Because there were interest in the summer. Apparently, Arsenal were linked with him. But surely he's worth more than what Arsenal would be willing to pay for Mitchell right now, which is what?
Right now, I'd say, personally, his value is probably around 35 million for us right now. I think he could be closer to that Aaron Wan-Bissaka number at the end of the season, because he's going to have another full season under his belt, and more than likely he's probably going to be leading in a lot of categories similar to how he is right now. So that's where I would put it.
Stan, you rated him highly, nothing around the 30 million range. You might want to, you might as well just say it. I agree. Your dog agrees as well.
My dog agrees as well. He's like Tyreek Mitchell, mate.
So how much do you value him?
Honestly, how much was Ben White, bruv? Or Ben Shite?
Different position. Yeah, different position. But wasn't he 50 million.
50, yeah, 50.
Tyreek Mitchell, 60 million.
Whoa.
And right
not
now.
A penny less. Not a penny less, mate.
Listen, do you think clubs will be right now? Let's say Mitchell. Do you see a club going and paying Mitchell 60 million? And honestly, I don't.
But did you see AWB going for 50 to Man United? Did you see it? I didn't.
No.
Sorry, maybe going for 25.
Yeah, but the difference is with AWB, there was lots of hype at that moment because we were such a defensive side. AWB was the main focus because he was so good defensively. But in this side, you see it. People talking about Gallagher, people talking about Zaha, people talking about Edward. The focus, people, you know, the casuals won't know about Mitchell as much. But people who watch football will know about Mitchell. But it's not quite there yet. Unless they watch Palace week in, week out, I don't think the hype is there with Mitchell as much as it was with Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And that kind of helped him with his valuation.
Exactly the same. It was only towards the end of his last season or towards the end when he was really like getting plaudits, et cetera, et cetera. He was always great for us. If you watch them, if you watched him week in, week out, I'm telling you now, he is like, when I watch him, I'm like, man, like how good is he defensively? Like how good is he? No one gets past him. The only person Salah. Who scored on him is Salah. No one gets past him. You know what? The pundits and others, they need to get or start putting some respect on the name of Tyreek Mitchell, mate, because he is quality. And you know what? He's got the AWB didn't do ever? Assists.
Assists.
Yeah, he puts in
a good ball.
But to be fair with AWB, the only real downside is that he didn't have Vieira as a manager. But even though like AWB wasn't great going forward, but maybe if AWB under Vieira, maybe he might go. It's hard to say.
There was a comment that said something like that earlier. I can't remember who said it. Like, but earlier on, they said that the AWB would really benefit from some Vieira coaching.
Yeah. Lots of people have been saying that. But look, that's enough for the City chat. Let's quickly move on to Palace news. I know, Stan, you have to head off in just a second. But if you guys want to come on and have your say, I'll be posting the link once again. Do you agree with us? How much is Tyreek Mitchell worth right now? Personally, I can see clubs paying 30 million for him. But right now, we don't have to sell Mitchell. He's doing his job. So we can value him as highly as we can. Just like with Wilf, you know. We could have easily sold Wolf. There was interest there, but clubs didn't match our valuation. And with Mitchell, we've got talent there. He just does his job, and that's it. He goes home, rests, and then he comes back, does his job. We don't even have to talk about him as much. But yeah, I think £30 million clubs might be willing to pay for that. But as Stan said, I think Palace might value him a bit higher. I'm not too sure about £60 million. Sounds a lot, but we'll see. I'll be posting the link right now once again. If you want to click on it, have your say. You don't have to have your webcam on. You can just have your voice. join in without your webcam, feel free. I'll be reading out some more comments. But let's move on to Palace news now. And with Palace news, he is back. Everici Eze is back at Palace playing football. He featured for the under-23s as a loss to Blackburn Rovers. He played only around 60 minutes. But, you know, it is a massive relief to have him back at the club. Stan, what did you make of this, you know, performance? I think you, not, yeah, I think, did you watch it, Stan or T? I think you'll see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you make of his performance coming back?
I didn't watch it, but I've heard a few snippets. I heard he was Eze, do you know what I mean? A touch here, touch there, cut inside, shot from the edge of the box, you know, like, it's going to take him some time, mate, but it's just another one. You've got him in the side. You can start him. He can come off the bench. Like, he's another one who's a great player. So it's exciting times, man. I'm starting to think if we got too many attacking players. Like, where are we going to fit all these guys, you know? But it's a luxury problem.
I'll tell you where we can fit them. In a European competition, Stan. You need to keep going.
Push up the table, get more games, sir. And then you'll find keep a game
going.
Like that.
Keep but going.
Jokes aside, T, mm-hmm. Where does Eze fit now? Do you think it's just going to be a case of right now, so far this season, with our attacking players, I think pretty much all of them have been solid for us. Really and are. You got Elise knocking on the door to play on the right-hand side. So is it going to be a case of, for Eze, he just has to wait for his turn?
I think it could be a little bit of that, but at the same time, he's the kind of kid that you just don't want to keep out of the lineup, man. Like, I think, you know, you can bring, I mean, honestly, you know, you do have the luxury of bringing him back in slowly. So it's not anything that's going to be very pressing right away. But eventually, man, I think he's going to be too hard not to be putting into the lineup, man. Honestly, I mean, with that type of talent.
Yeah, we've got a comment here from Brad. He says, I don't think we need to buy a lot, if at all, in January. There'll be another push for players in summer. There's such a good feel factor at Palace. I live in Norwich. My mates here in Norwich are impressed, says Brad. Talking about transfer business, we're reaching that time because we're hearing rumours that JP, Jean-Philippe Mateta, might be leaving Crystal Palace in the upcoming window, according to, I don't know how to pronounce this, I'm sorry if I pronounce it wrong, but according to the source, Blid. Apparently, Vieira has informed the striker that he is not in his plans. Mind Sporting Director has said the following as well. The contract is clear. Mateta has a contract with Palace until June 2022. From the sporting point of view, it also seems to be clear he can leave the club in the winter. This only happens with our consent. T, JP, look, he hasn't really had the chance at Palace. He had his chance with Roy Hodgson when he played him in the Brighton game and he scored that amazing flick. But actually, let me rephrase that. He has had limited opportunities, but in them limited opportunities, he hasn't really looked that good. Are you surprised by this news that he might be potentially leaving a club in January window?
Surprised? No. Not surprised, because I think everybody felt that this could be an inevitable conclusion when we were able to sign Edouard. With Benteke re-signing even before we got Edouard, and then adding a guy like that is kind of like, okay, you put two and two together, two and two equals him being the third choice and probably not being here very much longer. Now, in what form is the difference? How long he will be here is the difference. Do we let him go in January and try to do some other business, bring in some other players? Or, you know, do we just hold on to him for cover until the summertime when his loan is up and he inevitably leaves? So I kind of think it's that was always the storyline. We just didn't know exactly how it would play out. The fact that he may be leaving in January, and based on reading things, Mainz don't want him back. They don't want him back.
No one wants him. I feel bad for the guy.
And at this point, it sounds like Mainz just wants money. for him. They just want some to receive some type of compensation. So I could see this going one or two ways. I think it could end up being kind of like an Alexander Sorloth situation where we end up having to find someone to sell him to, and we get a piece of that, and so does Mainz. Or we hold on to him until the summertime when his contract, when his loan is up, and rather than paying the, what was it, like 13 or 14 million, I want to say, that we were originally supposed to pay, we get a cut rate deal on him.
We've got obligation. So I believe it's around 15 games. If he plays 15 games for Palace,
if he starts,
but you know, if it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I don't know how many games he's on right now. I should have checked it. Are you sure
he started,
it's three?
Yes, he started. I read it the other day. He started three games. But what I'm saying is,
are you sure it starts? Because yes, I heard someone say he's only got three more games left till the clause kicks in.
They were saying it was starts. If it was just games played, yeah. But from what I've read in like two or three different articles, it's actual starts for us. In that case, it's only been three. But if we were to hold on to him and not meet that obligation, then when his loan ends, at that point, we could probably try and buy him for a cut rate rather than that 15 that we would have to buy him for. You know what I mean? Because like I said, Mainz just wants some money for him. So at this point, it's like, why fulfill the obligation and have to pay them 15 when we can just have them here for the rest of the season, have them not meet that obligation, and then them be on the verge of not getting any money for him at all and having to take him back and his salary. And we say, okay, well, we'll give you 7. Yeah. And they'll say, okay, we'll take that. We just don't want to lose everything. So,
well, Colin asks, which striker would we replace with JP if he was to leave? Do you think there's a case of if JP was to go, we need to bring in another striker to replace him? Or do you think we've got enough depth at the squad currently? Because we saw it. Could Wilf be potentially playing up front more games after his City performance?
I think you can see it going either way. You could see us standing pat with the guys that we have. Because I think that, you know, if an injury was to happen to either, say, God forbid, but to Benteke or Edouard, and one of them, you know, swaps out and replaces the other, or, you know, then you also have being able to put Wolf up there. So in essence, we may not need another striker. But, you know, who knows how Vieira may feel or how Dougie may feel. Maybe they want to bring in another striker. If I was to bring in another striker, it would probably be either Daryl DK from Orlando City, or my dark horse guy who I really like a lot is Tarim Mofi from Lorient in Ligue 1.
So you think if we were to bring in replacements, you think we'll have to bring it from the outside? But Gareth says, I saw a comment from Gareth. Yeah, he says we already have a replacement on Milabi. So he thinks that maybe one of the academy players could be coming up and, you know, trying to play in his place. But I'm not too sure if
Omi Labu's 5'8". Like,
yeah, I'm not too sure if he would be replaced.
Not a center forward. I mean, he hasn't played one game of center forward for the U23s yet. I mean, if we're going to bring up Rob Street, cool.
I'm not too sure.
I don't think he's ready. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be ready anytime soon. But I think it'll be him before Omi Labu.
So we've got more comments. So Lewis says, as soon as we signed Eddie, then it was over for JP. Agree with you there. PP says, would like to have seen more of JP. Brighton goal was amazing. He's always going to be a legend for that Brighton goal. He's always going to be remembered for that moment. JP, S3 says, no, we should hold on to him. So he thinks that JP should be staying at the club. Gareth asks, talking about transfers, should Jairo go in January 2? I'm surprised about it because I thought Jairo in Vieira's system, he would have more opportunities, but he's played in the Chelsea game. He's had a couple other appearances as well, but it doesn't seem like he's quite in Jairo's plan. And I'm just wondering, how long do you keep him? Because you got Will Hughes there. Is Jairo above Will Hughes in the pecking order? It's a bit confusing, but what have you made of Jairo's situation so far at Palace? He's all this hype. You know, he's going to be a great midfielder. He's got the technical abilities, but it hasn't quite worked out for him.
I think the biggest issue for Jairo right now is that he's simply not the best at any of the central midfield positions that we have. Me and Patrick talked about this too. Like, between the three midfield positions that we have right now, they're all kind of very, they're all have like a little bit of a difference between them. You know, right now, Connor's kind of more in that advanced midfielder role where he gets forward more often, looks for goal scoring and assist opportunities. Maka is your true box to box midfielder. And then whoever we have back there, whether it be Luka or Kouyaté, is more of your traditional CDM, your traditional six type of guy. You know, and the problem is for Gyro right now, Gyro is really, really versatile. He's a great passer. You know, he's got good.
Did I lift back too?
Yeah, he's got really good mobility. But the thing is, of what we have, he's probably not the best box to box guy. He's not fast enough. He doesn't have the same work rate that a Maka or a Conor Gallagher has. Yeah. Therefore, he's not going to see the pitch ahead of them. And when it comes to that CDM role, he lacks the defensive abilities that it takes to really fulfill that role. So he's in a hard spot right now because he's a good midfielder, but he just doesn't excel enough to be better than in any of those one positions in our midfield right now than any of those other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, now Chalov. There's an inside joke at back of the nest about Chalov that Hesketh has been talking about for years from the preview podcast. And for that reason, he's going to get blocked. Now I'm chatting Hesketh. We're not talking about Chalov on this show. Yeah, you might be talking about on the preview show, which you can go watch. Not watch. You can look, go and listen to. Should be out probably Thursday evening or Wednesday evening.
But yeah, so, yeah, you absolutely love him. And he's your ideal signing.
And just a reminder as well, we're live on Palace. If this is your first time listening and watching to us, whether you're listening or watching, it might be podcasts they listen to, but every Tuesday at 7 p.m., around 7:15 to 7 p.m., we are always live. So make sure to come here on Tuesday nights to share your thoughts. Colin says, Rob Street has been confident in his finishing, just whether he's at that level as rest players. Nick says, I want Chalov too, and that's why he's going to get blocked as well. And to be fair, Hesketh, you talk about Chalov, but where is he? Like, what is he doing? He was linked with us once.
I don't even know what he's been doing now. Let me look him up.
Is he even playing football? I'm not even too sure if he's even playing football. But talking about some more summer signings, etc., we've got the question that was coming up as well. Do we need to buy any players in January?
Need?
Because you have to keep the squad. No. You have to keep the squad fresh as well.
I don't think we need to buy anyone. I think the only place that I could see a need for us at this point, and I guess this depends on the confidence that we have in our youth, would be left back. Just because, you know, I think it's important for us to have that cover there for Tyrick Mitchell. I'm not talking about bringing anybody in that's going to start into our starting 11 as far as need. But I guess out of all the positions, that is the position that really doesn't have, like, the obvious next guy up right now. I know that we've, in the past, you know, flipped and put Joel Ward on that left side, and you could bring in somebody like Klein on the right, but I think in a lot of ways that'll hurt us pretty significantly as far as what we're able to do on that left side. So I think, if anything, I think some left back cover would probably be the most glaring area of need for us in general.
I don't know about left back. This is gonna sound controversial, maybe, but if we're talking about where we can strengthen the squads, Woody's done great. But as I've said earlier on in the show, if he wasn't listening, he doesn't really suit Vieira's system in terms of being that attacking fullback.
No.
He's done a decent job for us, but I think we can improve in that area. But whether that's in January, whether there's an opportunity there, then maybe we can go for it. But we've also got Nathan Ferguson.
That's why I didn't think right back was a position of need, because, you know, if we're really looking to be more attacking on that right side, you can play Nathaniel Klein until we get Nathan Ferguson back. I mean, Nathaniel Klein looked really good in that U23 game. We didn't talk about him, but he looked really good in that U23 game, like Danny Alves-esque, you know, that type of game. But
Danny
Alves-esque,
Jesus.
Amen.
Well, he's playing against good. Kids. Bro.
Exactly. And that's probably why you look like Danny Alves.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have covered there. We have guys that we can put there. And plus, I wouldn't want us to bring in somebody else at right back and then completely signal that we have no confidence in Nathan Ferguson. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we should at least give him a due chance to get out there on the pitch. And especially with now, I hate to say it, but things are different with our recoveries for our players right now. Whether you want to believe it or not, when it comes to how our players are recovering and the amount of players that are and aren't getting hurt, it's very different from the way it used to be. So I want to give Nathan Ferguson that chance to come back and show that he is okay and can come back and really ball.
I like the underdog mentality. I like it. With Ferguson, I think pretty much, not majority, but loads of Palace fans have already wrote him off. You know, because he hasn't played a game, they're saying he's too injury prone. I would love it if Ferguson just came back from all these injuries and just kicked on. So I'll be reading some more of your comments before we talk about the Wolves game a bit. So film review show quickly. T, what do you think about it? Is JP a bad signing or not given enough time in the new league?
I don't think he's a bad signing because, I mean, he was a loan that we got for a little bit of nothing. I mean, now if we would have paid $15 million for him up front, he would have been a bad signing. You know what I mean? The thing about loans is I think the way that they're constructed is for this type of reason. You loan a guy out to see if he can have success, to see how he can do somewhere. And if it works out, that team can buy him. If not, he got to go back. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't say it's been a bad move. It just hasn't been as ideal of a situation as we hoped it would be. I think we wanted the Mateta move to be to really come good the way that the Edouard move has been this season so far.
Zan says no room for Rexaki now that we have Elise fit. I've been on a Rexaki train for a while now, and I think he's a massive, massive. I thought it would be a massive player for us, but I'm not too sure where it fits in. You got Eze coming back as well. It's going to be quite difficult for him. And I wonder if he goes out on loan in January. Esri says, yes, D, we need to buy a goalkeeper and a centre-back, two young players. PP says, buy Aaron Wan-Bissaka back. Jay says, I don't think Rob Tree is actually good enough for first team, but I hope I'm wrong. Rexaki deserves a chance for sure. James says, Gallagher leaving and Maka getting on, so box-to-box maybe. PP says, Jez is brilliant. Louis says, I reckon we need more backup players than starting 11. So a bit more squad depth improvement.
Yeah, squad depth. Yep.
Colin says, we would like to see a couple more defensive cover. Feel we're a bit short in that department. Attacking-wise, we don't need no one other than maybe a striker if JP leaves. Joseph says, how long do you think White has left in him? Will we be looking for a new goalkeeper in the summer? Well, we've seen it so far this season. I don't think he's had a particularly bad season, but in terms of playing out from the back, that's not his forte. Like, he does struggle with that. And I'm not too sure how long he's left in him. I feel like he can still be a decent backup goalkeeper. But maybe in the future, not right now, I think we've got other areas that we can improve on other than goalkeeper at this current moment. But in the future, we will ideally need to look to bring in a goalkeeper who's more comfortable on his feet than Vicente. But I don't think... you know, we've got major problems with Vicente today. It's not Hennessy level, let's just say that. Gareth says we haven't seen Ferguson yet. Nick says after we buy Connor, we won't be able to afford anyone else in January.
Hey, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah. Palace 1439 says backup ball playing center half still needed. Younger player says Andy as well. Less time compared to the older players to recover, maybe. And Dave asks, where do you think we could finish this season? So T, we've been talking about European spots and we are getting carried away. We are, I'll admit it, but we deserve it, man. We just beat City. Let's just get carried away for 1 week. But realistically, where do you think we can finish the season? And has it changed after seeing our performances in these first 10 games, considering maybe you might have had different expectations at the start of the season to now?
realistically, from the first 10 games and how we performed and where we're progressing to, added to the performance of the teams that are currently ahead of us, I still think we could be 7 through 10. I truly believe this. And I wouldn't be surprised if 7 and 8 end up being European positions because of teams in higher above in the standings winning something like the FA Cup and, you know, a spot sliding down. So I honestly believe we can be top half at the end of
the season. We got to call it in the squad to be top 10.
We have we play a great system.
I think it depends on injuries, and also there's some quality teams in the league this season. The league is very tight, so I don't think it's easy to finish in European spots. And if we do, I think it'll be amazing. But
yeah, I don't think it'll be easy at all. I mean, it's definitely the most optimal outcome.
That's like, that would be amazing. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why you say 7 through 10. You know, that's the realism of that area. You know, it's a very different remainder of the season for us if we finish 7th compared to the remainder of the season if we finish 10th.
Well, Conor Gallagher, best ever Gallagher, says we're winning the double, boys. So he's talking about FA Cup, and I guess he's talking about the league as well. Jay says Dean Henderson for 20 million or lower than... Yeah, Dean Henderson's actually a shout, but I'm not too sure what United are going to do with him. But let's talk about the game on Saturday. And for me, this game is massive. Because when you look at a run of games, we've got some winnable games coming up. We've had a difficult start to the season. And I think consistency is needed. Yes, we performed well against tough oppositions, but against Wolves, and it's not going to be easy. They're coming off an impressive 2-1 win over Everton. They absolutely destroyed them in the first half. In the second half, Everton got into it a bit more. But you have to, at this stage, surely build, you know, you have to try and get more points on board and try and win these games at home to build a bit more momentum and have a bit more consistency in the side.
I would say that the match between Everton and Wolves was the first time I got to see Wolves play a full match since Nuno was there. This is my first time seeing them actually play a full match, and they look good. They look good. I give them that. They look really good, especially moving the football around. I think it's going to be a really, really good game. On Saturday, I think it's going to be a really nice game on the eyes too, as far as teamwork, ball movement, that type of thing. I think it'll be an entertaining game, so I'm really looking forward to it.
James says, "Can't wait for back of the next vlog from Albania next season. I would love it. I don't care if we're in a Conference League away days in at European countries. I'm all for it, man. I don't care where I'm going. Gibraltar, Albania, I don't care. Just bring me Palace away on a European tour. Exactly. Just put me there and I'm there 100%. Nick says we are as good, if not better than West Ham, and look where they are. Colin says Wolves have a game in week and against us weekend, so hopefully that'll help with a win. People are sending the score predictions, which I'll be reading out a bit later. But before I talk about score predictions, I want to talk about the lineup. Because in this game, personally, even though we talked about Jordan Ayew having a solid game in terms of tracking back and Cheku Kiyate filling in the pockets and not allowing Man City players to get in behind, in this game, you have to change it up. As we change it up after the Newcastle game with Olise dropping and Ayew coming in, this is the type of game where we should be keeping the ball a bit more. Especially more than the City game, we should be trying to be on the front foot. And for me, personally, I think Olise comes back into the side. And I'm not too sure whether Lucas steps in, because Lucas is a better passer than Kouyaté, even though Kouyaté is a better defender. In terms of lineup changes, how do you think Vieira is going to approach this one?
I agree with the change with Olise, for sure. That Kouyaté-Luka move could go either way. It really could. But if I had to guess, I would think that they would play Luka. I don't think that we have to worry as much about their attacking prowess as far as our two center backs are concerned with what they have coming forward. I think they'll be all right. And I'm really interested to see what they want to do between Zaha, Edward at in the front. You know, if they want to stick with keeping Zaha through the
what
middle.
What would you do? Do you think Zaha should start through the middle? Does Benteke come into the side? Is Edward through the middle? Zaha? Why? Because they played a back three. So they had a back three against Everton. They've been on form as well.
They play a back three. And it was Saiz. It was
Cody
and Kilman.
It's going to be hard. We're going to also have the opposition preview coming out on Thursday. So make sure to check that as well.
If they're a back three, I'm going to play Wolf out wide. And I'll put Edouard through the middle. Because then with a back three, Wolf can play through the channels. And with if it was only two at the back, he plays through that middle channel. But now with three at the back, he can play through that channel on that left hand side. So I'd probably put Edouard through the middle and put Wilf on the left, me personally.
Yeah. Look, we've been running over time, but after the City game, you can't really blame us, can you? After talking about what happened then. But we'll quickly wrap it up with the score prediction in just a second. James says, Wang scares me. I can't lie. Yes. Wolves have got quality. They started the season off slow. But finally, they've got things clicking and it's not going to be an easy game. I think it should be a very exciting game. I wonder how Vieira approaches this one because they're going to be having a back three. So are we going to change our formation? Are we going to match them up? I'm not too sure. I think it should be an exciting game. And Wang is a player that, and Jimenez as well, he's back there. His hold-up play was good against Everton. It's not going to be easy at all. So we'll see what happens with that. But score prediction, before I get your one, T, I'll be reading out some of the people in the comment sections. Jay says 2-1 Palace. Louis says 3-1 Palace. Esprit says 4-0. 4-0. Colin says going for 3-1.
Wait a minute. Edward. That's what your boy Patrick said. That's what the Oracle said. 4-0.
That's what the Oracle said. 4-0. Colin says going for 3-1 win. Edward, Elise, and Gallagher. Jay says imagine Sellers under the lights in Europa League. Keep sending your score predictions. There's so many comments. I'll be trying to read. Jeez, we optimistic, boys. 5-0. Shane says 3-1. I'm telling you, Wolves. They're no, you know, I know we played good against City, but I'm expecting a difficult game. I really am. And we posted a tweet out on Back of the Net. So make sure to check out our social medias as well. And we asked people what they think are, how many points we're going to pick up in the next five games. And in a Wolves game, for me personally, as much as I want us to build a momentum and consistency, I think a draw could happen. I mean, I'm not going to downplay Wolves. They're a very good side. But T, what do you think? How is it going to go? Are you optimistic? Like the chat. I like the optimism, by the way. Keep sending your optimistic score predictions. But do you think it's going to go like 5-0, 4-1, or is it going to be a bit more tighter than that?
I'm going 2-1 Palace.
You scoring?
For us, it's going to be Edward and Zaha. It'll be another assist from Olise. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go 2-1, and I'm gonna go Edward and Eze.
Ben, take you off the bench. Eze. Nah.
Eze's gonna score. Eze's gonna come in.
It's too soon.
I'm trying to tell you, it's a movie, baby. It's gonna be his first game at Selhurst. He's gonna come off the bench. Michael Olise is gonna create something really nice. Play it to the center.
Don't do this yourself, T. It's too soon. I love it, but it's too soon.
I'm trying to tell you. Like, comment, subscribe. There it is.
It's too soon. I think with Eze, even he played 60 minutes for the under-23s. I think it's going to still take a bit of time. And even at this point for Eze, it's nothing about his performances. I didn't mention this when we talked about Eze. But it's nothing about his performances. Right now, Eze is all about building match fitness and building confidence. He hasn't kicked the ball for a very long time. So I doubt Vieira would rush him, but I love it. I love the positive energy right now. Eze's going to come and score. I don't think he's even going to be in the squad. I'll be real, but we'll see what happens. Finally, before we wrap this up, Shane says, what about Will Hughes? Is he injured or what? I'll quickly answer that. So there was a report out there from Football London suggesting that he picked up a minor back injury before the City game.
Yeah.
So that's why he was not involved in the City game. But I reckon he might be on the bench for the Wolverhampton game. And yeah, so we should be seeing him in the squad relatively soon if it's nothing too serious. So last bit of score predictions. Film review show changes it from 5-0 to 5-1.
Consolation. And that one goal, their one goal, their 2-1, their one goal is going to come from a set piece.
Justin says 3-2. Errol says 3-1 Palace, 2-0 Palace. Premature. Ezek. Ezek. Oh my. I don't know if I should even say that at this point, yeah. But nice. Nice from Nick. If you can read it, if you're listening to us on a podcast,
Ezeculation.
I don't know if you're. Yeah, ejaculation from T. Nice one, Nick. Nick loves the jokes. Jay saying 7-0. At this point, you know, for the City game, we were all saying 4-1 City, 3-0 City. At this point, don't be surprised if Wolves go there and beat us like 1-0 or something away from home. This is what happens when we're overconfident. But look, as always, that was a privilege. Thank you to T, thank you to Stan, thank you to everyone who joined us, leaving your comments, listening to us, watching us. It's always a pleasure. Nick as well. And you know, we're always here Tuesdays, 7 o'clock, 7:15. It's always a pleasure talking about Palace. We're loving it right now. And also thank you for all your support over the weekend. And absolutely, to everyone who's new to the channel as well. We appreciate your comments. As always, we try to reply back to them as much as we can, as quickly as we can. We'll be coming here once again next Tuesday, as I said, at 7 p.m. But there'll be opposition preview coming out on Thursday. There'll be the live match reaction show. There'll be my reaction. There'll be in the stands. There'll be player ratings. There's loads of content coming up at Back of the Nest. As always, thank you. And until next time, up the Palace.
Up it, baby.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free and 50 free spins welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools.